Deutsche Welle Africa Link. And welcome to this edition of Africa Link. I'm Mark Caldwell in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, prosecution and defence on the first day of a pre-trial hearing at the International Criminal Court for former Congolese rebel leader Bosco Ntaganda.
The prosecution will demonstrate that there are substantial grounds to believe that the crimes for which Bosco Ntaganda is charged were neither random nor spontaneous.
Even they do not have any clear idea of what they are charging Mr. Ntaganda with, Your Honours. They are taking a shotgun approach.
And Germany is planning to send troops to Mogadishu, rejoining a European Union training mission it had previously abandoned. We ask, what is driving this policy realignment?
It's not really a big change of the security situation on the ground, but I think it's part of this visibility and engagement in Africa strategy that seems to come from the Foreign Office.
And for Learning by Ear fans, there's another visit to Crossroads Generation. We hear what happens when Macy tells Dan the result of her pregnancy test.
Top story.
Former Congolese rebel leader Bosco Ntaganda appeared at the International Criminal Court in The Hague on Monday, where judges will decide if there is enough evidence to try him for war crimes and crimes against humanity. Prosecutors have charged him with 18 counts, including murder, rape, sexual slavery and the use of child soldiers, allegedly committed in the Democratic Republic of Congo's Ituri region a decade ago. Lauren Comito has been following the proceedings and sends us this report.
All rise. We will be.
Please be seated. The hearing, confirmation hearing is in session after the first break.
The 5 days of hearings that opened Monday morning are not a trial, but a court procedure to determine if there is indeed enough evidence to proceed to trial at a later date. Judges have 60 days to make up their minds. In the meantime, Bosco Ntaganda looked calm and listened intently as prosecutor Fatou Bensouda said Ntaganda, nicknamed the Terminator, and his group had a plan of gaining control of Congo's Ituri region and getting rid of its non-Hema ethnic groups through a ruthless campaign of violence and terror.
Madam President, the prosecution will demonstrate that there are substantial grounds to believe that the crimes for which Bosco Ntaganda is charged were neither random nor spontaneous. These were carefully planned, coordinated, and executed campaigns of violence deliberately targeting the Lendu and Giti populations and other non-Hema ethnic groups.
They say that as a senior military commander of the Union of Congolese Patriots, or UPC, Ntaganda was responsible for securing weapons and conscripting and training child soldiers. They also say that he used children as bodyguards who he knew were being raped and didn't prevent the crimes or punish those who committed them. Sarah Pillay represents 140 former child soldiers, some as young as 7 years old. She described how the girls were used as sex slaves and fighters, often referring to themselves as the wives of the commanders who raped them. Through an interpreter, Pillay told the story of witness number A074313.
We were raped multiple times by multiple men. I was raped several times by several men. I gave birth to a boy. I don't know who the father is. I hate this child who has no future. Even my family has abandoned me.
These crimes are not new to the ICC. And Ntaganda's former commander, Thomas Lubanga, was sentenced in 2012 to 14 years in prison for enlisting and using child soldiers during the country's civil war. He was the first person to be convicted by a court that many have criticized for being slow to mete out justice. Pillay said that the victims she represents have been waiting for justice for 11 years, more than half of their time on Earth, and that while they will never get their childhoods back, she said they expect Ntaganda to ask for forgiveness. But Ntaganda's lawyer, Marc de Salier, says they have it all wrong. He called the prosecution case hazy and imprecise and said it has no foundation.
Laura Comito reporting from the Netherlands. And as we heard in that report, the judges have 2 months to make a decision on whether to proceed to a trial or not. Assuming a trial does go ahead, how difficult will it be for the prosecution to secure a conviction? I put that question to Claire Duffy, Senior Legal Advisor at the International Bar Association.
Well, Mark, I mean, typically none of these types of cases are straightforward. And when you're trying to link these types of offences to individuals quite high up the chain of command, linking those crimes is really the challenge for the prosecution.
The crimes that Taganda is alleged to have committed date back to the time when he was serving under rebel leader Thomas Lubanga, who has since been convicted by the ICC for conscripting child soldiers. Does Lubanga's conviction have any bearing on this case, or are the two quite unconnected?
In terms of the factual allegations, you know, where the crimes are alleged to have taken place and the various groups involved, the cases are related in that way. But in terms of whether or not Ntaganda has charges against him confirmed and whether or not the case against him then proceeds to conviction will ultimately depend on the crimes that he's been charged with and the evidence that the prosecution presents and the defence ultimately presents to counter that evidence.
How difficult will it be to find witnesses who are prepared to testify in this case?
The court has a very sophisticated witness protection program in place and really is relying on either relocating individuals or somehow, you know, ensuring their safety and protection for the duration of the proceedings.
More than a decade has elapsed since the alleged crimes were committed, and the places where they are alleged to have been committed are very remote. Isn't this going to make it very difficult for prosecutors to build a solid body of evidence?
These prosecutors are very experienced in dealing with evidence that is older. That's not to say it doesn't present difficulties, but certainly they're used to dealing with those types of issues.
What about the remoteness of the locations?
Whether down the track they decide they want to conduct site visits, etc., to the location of the alleged crimes, then that obviously they will have to take security concerns. As for the witnesses themselves, this depends on a witness-by-witness basis, whether the court, through its witness protection program, can offer them adequate security reassurances for them to continue to cooperate.
Claire Duffy, Senior Legal Advisor at the International Bar Association.
Africa Link, because Africa is more than just a headline.
A new round of peace talks between South Sudan's government and rebels, aimed at ending 2 months of fighting, has been postponed. The talks were due to open in Addis Ababa on Monday. They were intended to build on a shaky ceasefire, which was signed last month by delegates loyal to President Salva Kiir and supporters of rebel leader Riek Machar, a former vice president. From Addis Ababa, Coletta Wanjoe reports.
Monday evening was set for the official opening of the second phase of peace talks between the government of South Sudan and the rebel faction loyal to Riek Machar. However, the talks have failed to kick off after the opposition have announced that they will not participate. Johannes Musa Pouk, the assistant spokesperson of the rebel delegation, says that his group will not sit and talk unless the government of Juba honors fully the cessation of hostilities agreement and the agreement pertaining to the release of the political detainees.
That's why we were abstaining today, because since we signed this agreement with the other side, I think we feel that they are not honoring all the agreements that we signed with them. And therefore, I think we think that let us first implement the agreement that we signed and then we go to the second round.
The rebel faction wants Juba to unconditionally release all the political detainees and remove Ugandan army from South Sudan if they are to sit to begin political talks.
All the time, if you watch the SSTV, which is the national television, always you'll find that people are insulting us, they're now attacking us in the media. The hostile is still there. In the government side. So this means that we are always breaking the agreement, or daily in violation of the agreement that we signed. So, and the second issue is that the government now is still campaigning, and is still also attacking our forces in the ground.
However, the Intergovernmental Agency for Development, IGAD, which has been brokering the peace talks, claims that it did not postpone the commencement of the peace talks because of the threat from the rebels. Chief mediator of the peace talks, Sayum Mesfin, says that the move by the rebels is not only undermining the peace agreements they signed, but also threatening a continuation of conflict in South Sudan.
Coletta Wanjoy in Addis Ababa. The German government is planning to send troops to the Somali capital Mogadishu, where they would join in a European Union mission training Somali troops. I've been talking to Annette Weber, head of research for the Middle East and Africa at the German Institute for International and Security Affairs in Berlin. She told me that this Mogadishu mission contained fewer surprises than one might have initially thought.
That it's really old news because Germany was training the Somali troops and the Somali police before in Uganda. All the other EU member states decided to send their trainers to Mogadishu already. It was only Germany holding back and claiming that the security situation is not liable for their engagement in the country itself. So it's no new engagement. It's the old EUTM, the old EU training mission.
Why then this change of heart?
Well, that's a good question. I think when we look back in the last couple of, three, 4 weeks, we see or we hear from the foreign ministry more and more, let's say, visibility engagements or calls for visible engagement in Africa. I mean, we've heard Steinmeier talking about engagement in the Central African Republic. We've heard more support in Mali. And I think now the question is exactly why the change of heart. Is the security situation really different in Mogadishu? And there, I mean, we could say yes or no, because yes, AMISOM, the AU mission, is controlling more streets in Mogadishu, but no, there are still almost weekly or twice biweekly attacks by Shabab in Mogadishu itself. So it's not really a big change of the security situation on the ground, but I think it's part of this visibility and engagement in Africa strategy that seems to come from the Foreign Office.
The German government is stressing that the troops would be there for training purposes. German troops are not going to be sent into battle. But can you really train soldiers for combat in a place as volatile as Mogadishu without getting involved in it?
Oh, yes, because the training will not take place in Mogadishu as such. I mean, the training will take place in highly secured environments, such as, I'm not saying it will take place at the airport, but you know, if you look at the engagement of the internationals right now, it is strictly only in super highly secured environments, such as the airport around Villa Somalia. So it's not in the middle of Somalia and the day-to-day life. So the troops will not be engaged in battle.
This a change in strategy. Is this entirely due to the fact that we now have a new German government, a government consisting of Christian Democrats and Social Democrats?
It appears to be like this. If you follow the exchange, if we can call it that, of the Minister of Defense, von der Leyen, and the Foreign Minister, they do use a different tone in their engagement. They call and appeal for engagement. So yes, I do think it's due to the change of government.
Annette Weber from the German Institute for International and Security Affairs in Berlin.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello and welcome to Crossroads Generation, a learning by ear radio novella about three young teenagers and their families.
We're standing at the crossroads, we're looking for our way. Crossroads Generation, our future starts today.
Before the story reaches its much anticipated showdown, let's catch up with what's happened so far. When Mercy didn't get her menstrual period, her friend Trudy advised her to consult Dr. Zito, who had to break some rather difficult news to her.
Mercy, please sit down. Mm-hmm. I've done the test now, and the results show that you are indeed pregnant.
Oh, no. I can't believe this. No. I'm actually carrying Dan's child.
So how will Dan react when Mercy tells him she's pregnant? Meanwhile, there's something Mercy still doesn't know. Her twin brothers, Banda and Kadu, have just rejoined the family. But they'd only just got home when their father, Msoto, was arrested by the police on suspicion of robbing the Jumbe family. Early the next morning, Lulu and her sons have rushed to Bongo Academy to tell Mercy the news. But on their way, they had a strange encounter with Dan's father, Mr. Kanyama.
What? You? Here? Oh, I'm sorry, madam. I thought I knew these boys.
Mom, tell him to go away. Please, my sons seem to be scared of you. May I know why?
Kanyama just made excuses and rushed away. What is he hiding? And will they find Mercy? How will she react to everything that's happening in her life? We'll find out in today's episode, It Wasn't Me. But first, let's stop over at the Jumbe family home. Jumbe and his wife are just having lunch.
Tell me, what's in the news? Have they caught the robbers who almost killed me?
No. And don't exaggerate, Mama Nikki. It wasn't that bad.
As if you know how bad it was for me.
You know, Mama Nikki, I really can't work out what's behind the change in our son. I don't understand it. Nikki is turning into a bad boy. He started smoking. He's rebellious with us. He even stole our car. But at the same time, he's still class prefect. And he came top of his class in biology. It doesn't make sense.
It's what people call puberty. He simply doesn't know who he is or who he wants to be.
I think the truth is that you have spoiled Nikki. And you're still spoiling him.
How can you blame me for the boy perform?
Wait. I need to take this call. Jumbe speaking. Who is this? Who are you? Ah, officer. Excuse me. How are you? Some new information? Yes, please go on. Really? When? Yesterday in the evening. Wonderful. Well done, officer. My wife and I are on our way to the police station. See you shortly.
Don't tell me. Msoto has been arrested.
I am telling you, Msoto has been arrested.
Nice!
Dan, I know this isn't the right time or place, but...
Mercy, please. The teacher will be back any minute. I really don't want to...
Dan, this is crazy. You can't just walk off each time I try to talk to you.
Mercy, I'm...
Just let me finish what I have to say.
Oh, okay. Okay. Go ahead. I'm all ears.
You have to talk to your dad again.
Huh?
You can't leave Bongo Academy and go back to Laboria.
And what do you want me to tell him exactly?
Dan, I'm pregnant.
I didn't hear that. Can you repeat what you just said?
I said I'm pregnant, Dan.
Oh, all right. I had you. And why are you telling me this?
Why? Because you're the one responsible.
Who?
You're the father. We're going to be parents, Dan.
Who? Me? No way. How? When? I am not responsible and I am not ready to be a father. Find someone else to blame.
You can't do this to me, Dan. You can't deny your responsibility. It was you who wanted me to show you my affection.
No. I was just a friend to you. That's all.
What?
I'm sorry, Mercy, but I have to prepare for the next lesson.
Dan, I can't believe you're doing this to me.
Will you people stop staring? Mind your own business.
This is our business.
Haven't you ever seen two people having a conversation before?
Not a conversation like this one.
Dad, I trusted you with all my heart, and this is how you treat me?
Mercy, it's okay. I know it's hard, but you'll manage somehow, okay? Now, please excuse me. I really have to concentrate on the next lesson.
Hey, Mercy, where are you going? Hey! Mercy's going through a hard time. I'm just trying to help. That's all.
Okay, boys, here we are. Be good now. This school has very strict rules. We don't want to annoy anybody. I'm not sure where your sister's classroom is.
But look, Mom. There she is!
Huh? Mercy, what's wrong with you? Aren't you supposed to be in class? Why are you crying? Tell me, dear, what's the matter?
No, I'm fine, just fine.
I'm sorry, my dear, but I have some bad news. It's about your father.
Here is your luggage, sir. I wish you a pleasant flight back to your country.
Thank you for rushing me to the airport and for your services during my stay here.
You're welcome.
Here, this is for you.
Ah, thank you very much, Mr. Kanyama. You're a very generous man. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank God I got a flight for today. Those kids are a curse. How did they manage to get here? Who helped them? What did they tell the authorities here about me? No. No. I have to fly home as soon as possible. I should never have trusted Lena. Never mix business with pleasure. Now look what's happened. I have to let her know. Answer the phone. Answer the phone, you stupid woman. Lena. Lena? Do you hear me? I saw your nephews. Are you deaf? I said I saw your nephews yesterday. They're here in Kisimba with their mother. Will you please explain to me how that is possible? Lena? Lena! Damn!
Due to technical problems, flight number 305 to Laboria has been delayed by about 45 minutes. We apologize
for
our
customers'
inconvenience.
What have I done to deserve this?
As Kanyama prepares to board the plane that will take him out of the country, we wind up this 26th episode of Crossroads Generation and the last in part one, Facing Tough Choices. But the story has only begun. Will Imasi go through with the pregnancy or will she choose to have an abortion? Will Kanyama be held responsible for illegal child work and abuse? What about Msoto? Will the robbery charges be dropped or will he go to prison? What will happen to Nikki, Dan, Trudy and the twin boys Kadu and Banda? All this awaits in the second part of Crossroads Generation, Facing the Consequences. The author of this series is Crispin Mokideu. If you'd like to listen to all 26 episodes, please visit our website at dw.de/LBE. And if you'd like to know what Dan really thinks about Mercy's pregnancy, you can watch his video blog online. You can also follow us on Facebook. Until next time, and remember to make the right choices.
We're standing at the crossroads. Which way are we going to take? Which will take us to the top? And which one leads astray?
And as we've just heard, that was the final installment in the current series of Crossroads Generation. In Learning by Ear on Thursday, you'll be able to hear a new series devoted to human rights. The Crossroads Generation won't, of course, be gone forever. They'll be back for part two with their hopes, fears and lashings of high drama on Thursday, the 24th of April. But back now to the present and a reminder of our main stories. Former Congolese rebel leader Bosco Ntaganda has appeared at the International Criminal Court in The Hague, where judges will decide if there is enough evidence to try him for war crimes and crimes against humanity. A second round of peace talks on South Sudan, scheduled to start on Monday, has been postponed. And Germany is planning to send troops to Mogadishu, where they would join an EU training mission. Remember, we welcome your comments on this programme. You can text us on 49 160 957 595 10. Send an email to feedback.africa@dw.de or a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany. We're back again at the same time tomorrow. Do join us if you can. From me, Mark Caldwell. Bye now.